Welcome to the Grow Bold with Disability podcast, brought to you by Feros Care, a podcast dedicated to smashing stereotypes and talking about the things people with disability care about most to help us live bolder, healthier, better connected lives. I'm journalist Pete Timms.
And I'm Tristan Peters. I work for Disability Service Directory Clickability and am a wheelchair user living with spinal muscular atrophy.
Today's episode of Grow Bold with Disability is Growing Bold with Assisted Technology. And our guest is Angus McConnell, an old mate of mine who became a C4 quadriplegic after a cycling accident in 2013. In this episode, we'll discover what happened to Angus, his struggle with being a quadriplegic, and how virtual reality has helped his rehabilitation. Gus, welcome to Grow Bold with Disabilities.
Thanks, Pete. Hey, Tristan.
G'day.
Now, mate, tell us, let's head back to 2013. Tell us about that fateful day.
Mate, I was riding my push bike down a hill here in Newcastle, Memorial Drive, it's called, and it leads down to Cooks Hill Surf Club. It's a pretty steep hill, and you roll about 60 on your push bike down there, and a car came up the other way and paused as I was coming down the hill and then turned across me as I got there. I ended up having a bit of a collision with that car and riding it off.
Jeez. Oh, my God. So just you at, 85 kilos coming down the hill at 60, totaled a car.
Calm down with 85 kilos. Pete, I was fit.
So, Gus, what was the initial diagnosis? What you obviously went to hospital. What was the diagnosis that you got?
So at the back of the truck, I was awake, and look, you know, they were asking the usual questions: can you feel me? Can you feel this? And I couldn't. But at that point, you don't really, you know, that's way too early, and you're not thinking about, you know, I'm going to be a spinal cord injury. And then in hospital, I was pretty banged up, as you can imagine, and I spent a lot of time on a resus machine, so I couldn't talk to my family and friends who were all visiting. And, I had a tube down my throat, which, as you probably understand, Pete, was a drastic change for me not being able to talk.
Most peace your family's had in years, I reckon.
Yeah, somewhat. A little bit of a shock. But, so in hospital, You learn pretty quickly what you can and can't do. There's a little thing called shock that you may come out of it, but basically I can move my arms and but can't clench fists properly. And from essentially, I was diagnosed at the time C7 complete, and still am. But I had a syrinx later on in about 6 months down the track, which is a little bit of a problem that means puts pressure on the spinal cord, and then I graduated to C4 sometime later.
So how was your mental state with this? We obviously know your physical state, Gus. What was going through your head after your diagnosis, and then as it went by, and you could say, well, this is pretty permanent.
Yeah, it's a pretty horrible time. Look, it is. It's drastic, but fortunately, in my state of mind, you land in hospital. I spent about 8 weeks down at Royal North Shore Hospital. Firstly in Newcastle Hospital for a week, where they did an operation which turned out didn't quite work, and so went down to Royal North Shore. Or got halfway down in a helicopter actually, and turned back because it was too windy to land. So I ended up at North Shore after a good time, and you're in a ward full of people with spinal cord injury, pretty essentially. And look, it's harrowing, but there's people around you who are going through the same ordeal, I guess. For me, being a 41-year-old fella with a family, a young family at that, and mate, it gives you drive to keep going and push on. You just need to. There's some older guys there who I hats off to them. I don't know what kept them going, because it crushes you to find out that you can't, what you've been doing for 40 years, all of a sudden you can't do anymore.
Yeah, and Gus, you mentioned your family there. What effects did this sort of have on your relationships with your family and friends? Was there a difference?
Yes, certainly. All of us. Look, physically is the biggest impact. Mentally, yeah. Look, there's a lot to deal with physically. All of a sudden, you can't go to the toilet by yourself, let alone walk down the street. You can't stand up at a pub. This is obviously much further down the track, but you can't stand up and interact socially with people at a party or even a gathering. And where everyone in those situations where everyone stands up all the time, it's really frustrating. You can't, your diaphragm is squashed all day because you're sitting down. So you've got to yell with lungs and diaphragm that don't work properly. So your voice box is inhibited. So my usual loud voice isn't that anymore. And you're yelling up to people who are talking down at you. It's really frustrating. Imagine sitting in the pub or sitting there while everyone else around you is standing. It's very frustrating. I don't like that.
Absolutely.
Gussie, when you got out of hospital and you sort of came to grips with what was going on, let's say 12 months down the track, what did the doctor say your future held for you?
The message was very much forget about from your essentially my nipple line down. Forget about that. Look after it, but essentially you won't be using that again. And concentrate on what you've got. So a little bit of arm movement, which I'm very fortunate in my position. My biceps and triceps move. Tristan, you probably understand that I can pull my arms back to a position, so I push myself around in a normal chair, a push chair, rather than being in an electric chair.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And on that, you obviously the doctors are giving you this sort of feedback, and it was around then that you decided to look into alternative therapies. How did that path? Where did you go down that path?
Yeah, that's right. So it was about a year down the track. Look, I've remained pretty positive to try and be. Without sounding too corny, be all that you can be sort of thing. Keep pushing, knowing that, only 7 years ago, knowing that technology would be coming. And then it's difficult to find. Mainstream, as you're probably aware, mainstream medicine was really quite shut to trying to push to help to do anything. So what you do, you look outside the box. And I found a fella called Rowan O'Reilly, who all he does is think outside the box. This fella, he's an amazing chap. And I think you guys are looking at talking to him sometime down the track, which he's keen for, and something you definitely should do rather than me yapping away. But I found Rowan and his technical mind empathetic and his empathy as well. Mate, the guy is absolutely unbelievable. And he sort of came up with the idea of using all kinds of technologies on me, and I'm open to it because he's getting results. I can now move my foot, certainly after a little bit of stimulation in my feet. And then we turn everything off and strip me down, and all I've got is my brain doing the work. I can move my foot. I can pull my feet back in dorsiflexion now, and it's pretty amazing to see that come along.
Fantastic.
Considering I wasn't able to do that. Yeah.
So Rowan's a movement therapist. How has he got you to this point? What's he doing that's different to everyone else?
So we use all manner of technology from a hard bristled brush to essentially a well rounded and crafted stick, a nice little piece of timber. high level stuff, and then we also move a little bit further down historical pages and use electronic gadgets, stim machines, electronic stimulation, a machine born out of American military technology, which was to get their guys back up and walking, a thing called the Parastep machine. If you can imagine a TENS machine that you might have had on an ankle injury or something, and you turn that up to 10, that's really quite uncomfortable. Well, that machine pumps out about 50 milliamps of power. Now, to put that in some, that's just to so you can might be able to relate to it. 10 to 50 milliamps of power in a TENS machine. Mm-hmm. The next thing we use is a Myo Plus, which is a really souped up TENS machine, essentially. It's got a varying programs. It's got 90 milliamps of power, so it can really throw some stuff out. But this Parastep, the difference in Parastep is that where the electrodes are touching your skin, each electrode will do something at a different time. Where on a TENS machine or the Myo Plus, even any program that you're using, all the power goes at the same time. So drum beats all happening at the same time on your skin. The Parastep works it a little bit differently. And mind you, just to put the milliamps on a Parastep machine, crank that up to 10, and you're 250 milliamps of power.
Whoa.
Yeah, sort of make a horse jump a fence sort of thing. So, it's a powerful machine. But what it does, it's got a sit-to-stand function. And it pumps at your glutes first, and then your quads will kick in after that, and then your peroneals, which lock your knees into joint, they kick in afterwards. So you stand up with the thing. So it's a good bit of gear.
And so you mentioned the pub early, going to the bar. Have you used that stand chair at the pub before? Or
No, I think I'd throw myself out of my chair and fall over and knock stools over, and then very. Very unhappy people with schooners going everywhere.
Fair,
so,
fair.
No, I haven't tried that yet. But we do that. And what it does is it has pumped my legs up and kept them essentially preconditioned to accept any of the technology that's coming as far as stem cell. And we're so close. There's trials, I believe, happening up in Queensland this year. So I'm looking to get involved with that too. So what it's done is keep me preconditioned. My legs look like... Probably a lot stronger than Tim's than Pete's legs there, but
turn it up.
Yeah. When I wasted away in hospital, so I had nothing. I'm built back now to not quite what I was, but certainly looking half normal.
Mate, tell us about the virtual reality therapy, how that worked.
So one of the other things we use with Ro at Engage VR. One of the things we use there, sorry to plug there, but that's what the company's called that he's working with. At Engage, we're one of the things. So VR is used and it couples with, as you know, VR with gaming, all of that sort of stuff. You've got all kinds of haptic technology, which now you can. You can put a glove on, and as you're pulling the trigger, it can actually, you'll feel a bit of recoil in a gun, or you can feel a butterfly or a sparrow land on your finger, and so that haptic technology is enabling people to feel a little bit of what's happening and what's going on to authenticate the experience in under VR. What Rowan thought about with VR was we can use that in therapy. And what we can get out of that is essentially someone, I'm just going to sidestep here a little bit. So someone has a stroke and their left side of their body, traditionally gets injured or stops working essentially. There's a technique that they use very frequently with the recovery of stroke called a mirror box. And you put your arm in the mirror box and you put your right arm down next, your left arm goes in the mirror box, your right arm goes down next to the mirror box, and you start moving your right arm, and obviously your brain can see your right arm moving, and it can see now the reflection of your right arm moving, which looks like your left arm, and it reboots your brain into, right, my left arm moves, and then all of a sudden it'll start moving. VR, when you go, have you been into VR, you guys?
I've used it once or twice.
Likewise.
Certainly the people out in podcast world may have tried VR. If not, go and try it and look, and if you can put earphones on as well, look at how amazing the feeling that comes back out as you come out of VR. Like it's a total sensory involvement in the experience, which is quite amazing. So you go in there and you can see that it's a cartoon land, and all you might be doing is pulling a bow and arrow and shooting some little guys who are attacking your castle, say, or yep. you know, shooting some zombies, or having a, you know, riding a unicorn and flapping the wings and riding a bike. So you can do all those things. You come out of this cartoon land and you go, oh, that's right, I'm not in cartoon land. I'm back in the real world, and it feels like you're in a cartoon. That's Rowan had a go at that and thought, this is going to be absolute game changer for the world of neuroscience, in that you're totally immersed in there, not dissimilar to the mirror box technique. VR is going is helping you trick your brain into thinking, this is what I can do. So now all of a sudden you put gloves and legs on, and you can go for a walk in VR if you're harnessed up, and you can go for a walk on a treadmill or down a track that Rowan's having set up at the moment. And we can move my body with the Parastep on as well. We can move my body. I can look down in VR and see my legs moving, and that's going to trick my brain, we think, somewhat into helping my my brain and central nervous system reboot somewhat and start working, and certainly grow the neural pathways and regrow like we know that happens at the moment.
It's amazing what's happening. How far do you think this is before becoming mainstream, sort of becoming regular practice?
Oh, look, I think it's the evolution has begun. Another place that I go to physio, it's a neuro rehab physio gym, essentially, where all the gang there are physio, qualified physios, exercise physiologists, etc. And it's completely accessible. So, and those guys are training. You know, it's physios doing the work. I stand up with them without any of the electronic equipment. I push myself off the end of a plinth, essentially, and one of the girls locks my knees in mechanically, and she sits behind me and holds me up, and we stand there, and which is all good for, you know, all manner of things, muscle stretching, bone density, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on. So we're built to stand up. We need to keep standing up.
So, Gus, what do you see the future holding? Now, you spoke about they're doing a lot of stuff with brain stem cells.
Yeah.
What are you hearing there? The combination of this, of all this technology, and where do you see this in 10 years?
In 10 years, mate, I'll be walking.
Amazing.
I think it won't be too long. I can't put a date on it, but I think you'll go into hospital as a spinal cord injury, and you'll be walking out the door. I think that's where it's heading. Obviously, mainstream medicos need to get on board. And I think the younger generation, you know, I have carers, I have full-time care. When I say full-time, I need someone to get me up in the morning. I need someone to put me to bed at night. I need someone to help me go to the toilet and to shower, et cetera, et cetera. The guys I use mostly uni students who are coming through as physios and OTs and nurses, and most recently I've had a doctor, and here they come. The next generation will want to be fixing people, not just patching them up and sending them on their way, I think.
It's amazing. It's phenomenal to see what's happening. And kudos to advances in medicine. It's brilliant.
Now, Gus, as you know, this podcast is called Grow Bold with Disability, mate. Tell us, we'd like to finish off with you telling us what living a bold life is to you.
Mate, I've kept doing things my family are growing up. I've got a 13-year-old son, is the youngest, two that are older than that. Go and break the boundaries that you're not only society might be putting on you, but the ones that you're putting on yourself. Go and put yourself out of your comfort zone. Since I've been in a chair, we've been all over the world. I've paddled most recently in Hawaii. I've paddled an outrigger canoe in the surf. I've jumped out of a plane with my sister on my back. Obviously, Pete, you know that.
Yep.
and just keep living life.
Gus, you're an absolute inspiration, mate. Thanks so much for joining us here today on Grow Bold with Disability, podcast brought to you by Pharos Care. And our listeners can find out more about Gus and his incredible journey in links provided in today's episode show notes, mate. Thanks again for so much, Gus.
Cheers, Gus.
No worries, boys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening. And if you have enjoyed today's episode, then make sure you subscribe to the podcast, Grow Bold with Disability. And if you like what you heard, then please take a few moments to pop over to iTunes and give our podcast a quick rating so we can continue these conversations and encourage people to grow bold. This podcast is brought to you by Pharos Care, a people care organisation committed to helping people live bolder lives. We call it Growing Boldly, and for over 25 years, Pharos has been making it real for both older Australians and those living with disability. To find out more, head to pharoscare.com.au.